Breakfast puppies?
This podcast contains adult language and content and is meant for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars, but mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Hey, Xander, what are we drinking? Ooh.
We are drinking Hogshead Whiskey from Edgefield Distillery, and we are also currently drinking Hammerhead Ale from Edgefield Brewery in the McMiniman's Mini Empire.
Do you have a? I have not started drinking yet. Do you have an order I should do this?
I usually go for a sip of the whiskey first, and then go with the beer second. The reason that we do this is because both of these have the same malt build, which is kind of fun. So the same malts that are used in Hammerhead are the same malts that are used in Hogshead. So Hogshead is actually an interesting. So quickly about the Edgefield Distillery. It is the oldest continuously operating whiskey distillery in the state of Oregon because Prohibition sucker punched the shit out of the state and shut down everything for a very long time. So I believe it was in 92, 94, something around there when Edgefield Distillery opened up and first started making the Hogshead whiskey over here, which is unique in a couple different ways. First off, it's 100% malted barley. That's very unusual for an American whiskey. That's usually more of a Scotch or Irish or Japanese thing to do. And also it's aged in new charred American oak, which is more of an American thing to do. So it kind of is the best of old world meets new world as far as distilling is concerned.
Speaking of being sucker punched by the state of Oregon, you're listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars, recorded here in Portland, Oregon. I'm NPC.
I'm the good Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
And I am Poppy Beaujolais.
And Jacob could not join us today due to scheduling issues.
I literally like said it in my head though. Like
I heard the same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
I was like, I'm NPC.
Nope.
I'm just Jacob.
That's an empty chair.
We're doing a very gestalt exercise empty chair tonight.
Yeah.
We say to Jacob? I mean, I would say anything to his face, actually.
I think what we should do, since Jacob can't join us for this in the next few sessions, is let's still see if we can try and break him. Push things that we think will break Jacob, and occasionally we can stop and go, oh, we broke Jacob, and just I can find one of our previous episodes and like copy paste a little bit of his
one of his laughs.
That would be fun.
Okay, anyway, back to you, Xander.
So the Hammerhead, it classifies itself as a Northwest pale ale, which I push back a little bit against because to me it tastes much more akin to an amber. Just because of the high malt characteristics of it. So again, it classifies itself as a Northwest pale ale. I think it's very malty for a pale ale, in my personal opinion. Hammerhead is one of the best sellers from McMiniman's. It's not even close to one of my personal favorites, but it's been around for like 36 years or something like that. And is always a best seller and a good place to kind of start if you haven't tried any of the beers before. And again, full disclaimer, I work for the company. I'm just going to be honest about things because that's how I am.
Now, Hammerhead, don't they have a Hammerhead milkshake too at some of the places?
Terminator milkshake.
Terminator is the milkshake. Yeah. Okay.
Terminator is the stout that we have, which is
gotcha.
Great, which I didn't bring.
Sounds like we have a pretty heavy focus on McMiniman's today. So it seems like we're going to be talking a lot about them.
Yeah. Let's kind of get into it. So, anyone who lives in the Pacific Northwest, you will probably know what McMiniman's is because they're everywhere in the Pacific Northwest, mostly here in Oregon. They were started by brothers Mike and Brian McMiniman back in 76, I believe, when they went and bought Produce Row.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how they started.
Oh, wow. Whoa. I didn't know that.
Wait. Produce Row to me simply means that cafe. Are you talking about the whole area around it too?
Nope, the cafe. Oh, okay. Like that was their first place that they owned.
But they don't own it anymore.
No.
Oh. Huh. Okay.
But that's how they started. And I would say their most significant contribution initially to the Northwest booze scene and pub scene was the McMenamin brothers, along with the Widmer brothers and those who had the Bridgeport Brewing, lobbied the state successfully after a while to allow a crazy thing called a brew pub to exist.
Ooh.
So prior to, I think it was 83 when this happened, you could have a brewery, you could own a bar, you could not sell the beer from the brewery at the bar that you owned. That was illegal.
Hmm. Whoa.
It could literally be like one building over, that'd be fine.
Yeah, you'd have to like sell it to yourself or something like that.
What?
Yeah, because the teetotalers and temperance and prohibition movement in Oregon was very strong.
Wow.
And so things like that, so the Oregon Liquor Control Commission was literally founded based upon the concept of temperance for the good people of Oregon. That is literally in their founding documents. And so up until the early 1980s, you couldn't have a brew pub that was not allowed to exist. So again, those three breweries, Widmer, McMenamin's, and
Bridgeport
Brewing, may they rest in peace.
May they rest in peace.
Yeah.
I would say we pour one out, but I don't want to pour anything onto the carpet. And this is good beer.
Yeah, and good whiskey, yeah. But they lobbied, they got it through. And so the first brew pub ever to exist in the state of Oregon is the McMenamin's in Hillsdale neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. I know that place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the first brew pub in the state of Oregon.
Oh, wow.
But that was not their first McMenamin's location.
I'm pretty sure that was Barley Mill.
Barley Mill. Yeah.
Yep.
That's the one on Hawthorne, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Opened in 1983, I believe.
Around there. Yeah. But Hillsdale was the first brew pub, and they kind of expanded from there. And what they're kind of most well known for is their buying of old historic properties and turning them into everything.
I thought you were about to say they're most well known for their overpriced burgers, but no.
Mike and Brian, if you're listening, his words, not mine. But so they own a lot of historic buildings. Most of what they do with them is turn them into hotels, breweries, and oftentimes movie theaters as well, restaurants and whatnot. And the one I personally work at is their largest, which is a brewery, and there's vintners there, and cider makers, and distillers, and there's two golf courses, and there's a spa, and a salon, and a soaking pool, and a movie theater, and a hotel, and two restaurants,
and a lot of drunk bridesmaids.
Oh yeah, yeah. Actually, I can't even like say no to that. That's actually 100% true. And a concert venue, and it's a lot of things, and so it's kind of a fun thing because most of the buildings that they purchased that were historic were probably going to be torn down at some point anyways, and they went and they preserved them. They also employ several historians that go through the archives of these buildings that they buy, and they literally go and paint the rooms and the outside of the walls and everything with the history of what used to happen at these certain buildings, which is kind of a really cool thing when you think about it. They actually do try to preserve a lot of history in this. In this city and in the state for things that they take over.
Those paintings are weird. They have some really weird paintings in those places.
I know. If I didn't work at Edgefield, I would definitely want to take a mushroom trip one of these days, just walking down the halls, because it's so fucking, like, some of these things are just who did this? And you start looking even closer, and at every one of the elbows of like pipe fittings and whatnot, there's like a creepy like clown face paint or some kind of jester face. And you're like, I didn't see that before. And now I cannot unsee this.
Yeah. Or if you look down and there's like, the end of a pipe, like the end of a sewer pipe
is
painted, or there's a real attention to detail at these locations, which are the ones that are like not the strip mall locations.
Mm-hmm.
But even at the strip mall locations, there's still a lot of attention to detail.
And a lot of antiques that they buy and put in there. So, again, no offense, McMenamin Brothers, but the strip mall, like Mall 205 and like Sunny Valley, I don't know what it was called.
Up in Vancouver, too.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're the most boring of all the McMenamins, but they are also the most interesting thing in that strip mall.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I assume the reason they do that is just to keep the McMenamin's name out there. So if someone goes to, East Vancouver Pub or Sunnyvale or whatever, and they're like, oh, this food was actually better than anything else in this property or in this strip mall, and then they're driving around, oh, they have a hotel, oh, there's another cool food, oh, I've heard that name before. I assume it's only for name recognition is my only assumption, because otherwise I don't know why they're there.
Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense. I've eaten at those places, and what is kind of cool is that if you are at one of the strip mall locations and you sit at the bar looking away from the windows, you kind of forget you're in a strip mall.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
One of my favorite things to do when people come visit from out of state, or if they've just moved here, is to take them to a McMenamins. Usually it's going to be Edgefield.
Kennedy School.
Or Kennedy School.
Which is where I purchased these things today.
Excellent. And just be like, we're going to walk around. I'm just going to let you stare at shit. And at first they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, just trust me.
They're also very well known for their amazing soaking pools that they have in some of their hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Which, oh my God. They tend to keep them at about 102 degrees. They have naturally forming chlorine in there, which is made of like salt mineral and stuff like that. So it's not like actual chemicals they're pumping into those things.
I'm told that there's a day of the week that you're supposed to go, so you're not just floating in like weak old people water.
I don't know.
There's like a day that they like flush it out and replace the water or something.
Yeah, they do it on a regular basis because I've tried to go to the soaking pool at the Kennedy School before and clothes were draining. Like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
What I do love about Edgefield is you're there for an event, or maybe you're just there to hang out or do some wine tasting or whatever. And there's all these people walking around in bathrobes. I love it.
Strange place. Yeah, it's great.
So on the note of walking around in bathrobes, you can almost tell the time when it's really close to or just past 11 p.m. when the soaking pool closes, because the soaking pool at Edgefield is way kind of off in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, in a very cult-like fashion, 20, 30 people emerge from the woods, all wearing robes at the same time. And you're like, oh, I look like, yeah, I guess it is 10:59. That checks out.
Someday, just start blasting that music from Conan, you know?
It's funny you say that, because one of my exes and I went to Edgefield a few times, and we started developing this kind of a joke that there was literally a bathrobe people cult. And it was very much inspired by that Mitchell and Webb skit about the people that live in the plants of the Home Depot or whatever, the Home and Garden Center, the tribe of people that live in there. And we're like, yes, the bathrobe people, they all actually live here, and they just fade into the forest. And they have all these relics, like the little globes that are dotted all over the place. Those are the way that they communicate. Yeah. The bathrobe people.
Yeah, no, that checks out. That definitely checks out.
That's hilarious.
That's so funny. One of my favorite ones that I think is a little bit underrated is the Olympic Club in Centralia.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to that one.
Built in the 1890s as basically a gentleman's club, back before gentleman's club meant tits. Back when gentleman's club meant like the He-Man Women Haters Club. Like, just no women allowed.
Was it like loud talking and darts, or was it more like big wingback chairs, cigars, and whiskey?
A little bit of both, I believe. It was basically like a place for gentlemen just to go and get away from women for a while and like smoke cigars and drink whiskey and shoot pool. And it's awesome too, because they have their old menus from back in the day listed on the hotel walls. And it's like, yada, 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 with liver. Yada, 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 with liver. Yada, 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 also with liver. And it's right there by the train track, so every single hotel room comes with earplugs because it can get a little loud there. Mm-hmm. But because it was already a historic building before the brothers bought it, almost nothing has changed in the main bar because they weren't allowed to really do anything. So it is basically a frozen in time from the 1890s kind of hotel, and it's awesome.
Is that the one where the downstairs bathroom, like the public bathroom that's off the restaurant, has the really crazy plumbing?
I know the men's urinal at the Olympic Club has basically a bathtub sized urinal. It is massive.
Yeah.
Like, you could float that thing down the Willamette.
There's one at the property out west that has
St. Francis?
No.
That's east.
Oh, that's east.
It's out west.
Gearhart.
No. Sorry. Hillsboro area. It's off the interstate.
Oh.
The one in Forest Grove.
Cornelius Pass Roadhouse?
I think so. Yeah. It's got the double level main area. Then it's got the little, a couple of shacks. Don't they make some beer or something there? Is that the rum? I can never remember what is made at what locations. But
there was an employee here that could answer these questions for you.
But the men's restroom at that place has this complicated just sprawling spaghetti mass of these old pipes just snaking up from the urinals. Like, I've gone in there several times and just seen people standing there, like, on their way to the urinal, and they have stopped to gawk at the wall.
If my memory serves me, I think in the women's restroom at the Olympic Club in Centralia, there is a crazy, you know, MC Escher-esque, like, map of pipes.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go to, like, turn on your sink, and, like, a shower head over there goes on instead. You just sit there. You can just sit there for like 45 minutes, like turning knobs and seeing what turns on what. And it's hilarious.
I think between stuff like that and their obsession with the Grateful Dead, they're literally trying to encourage you to do a bunch of drugs while you're there and just see what the fuck happens.
That's something I wanted to ask you about. The Grateful Dead. Why is that goddamn bear everywhere?
Uh-oh, here we go. Settle in.
The brothers are huge Deadheads, and they have been forever, obviously. I'm going to say it right now. I don't care if this gets me fired. I don't get the Grateful Dead.
I don't get it either.
I don't understand.
Tried. Yeah.
Like, okay, so here's the thing. If you take Jerry Garcia out of the equation, they're actually a decent band. However, he was the face of the band, so that's why I'm very confused. Phil Lesh actually had a pretty decent voice, you know, and really early Grateful Dead, you know, as long as Jerry wasn't singing, was actually pretty okay. Like, you know, some kind of, you know, country, like kind of backwoods, little bluesy kind of stuff. And then, you know, in like the like late 70s, early 80s, when they started to go and just do the fucking jam band thing, I'm like, you have lost me 100%. And it always reminds me of one of my favorite jokes my father told me from back in the day. What did the Dead fans say when the drugs wore off? This band sucks.
Amazing.
But all that to say this, you know, they're obsessed. It gets a big following. And, you know, probably will have to go and suffer through Jerry Garcia's birthday celebration again on August 1st, which is always my least favorite time.
Bunch of old hippies.
I mean, they're not even hippies. Like, they're Deadheads. They're a whole different breed. They just happen to like tie-dye, I guess. I don't know. But it draws a big crowd. People like it. I guess it makes them happy. So la-di-da, I guess. And then, of course, at the Jerry Garcia statue at Edgefield is just a giant pile of, like, offered, like, half-smoked joints.
See, where I grew up, we had an obsession that was arguably, well, depending upon what walk of life you're from, I would say it's arguably worse. Many of the bars in the area where I grew up were parrot head bars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, buddy.
And, you know, you might think it's worse because parrot heads are really fucking annoying, but at least Jimmy Buffett had some songs that people remember. I couldn't tell you a single Grateful Dead song.
I think the only Grateful Dead song I know is that one that was popular in like the late 80s. Yeah. I will get by.
I don't know that one.
Okay, I just found that I'm working in Jerry's Ice House on Jerry Garcia's birthday on August 1st. That'll be really fun. Is
Jerry's Ice House named after Jerry?
Sure is. Huh. You walk inside of it, there's nothing but Grateful Dead posters and homages to Jerry Garcia, which means my usual of trying to go through the bare minimum of playing the Grateful Dead in that bar will have to go by the wayside, I suppose.
I can't remember if that song is called Touch of Grey or something.
I will say Friend of the Devil is actually a good song.
See if you can subtly replace it all with cover songs by better bands.
I'm just going to play Frank Zappa the entire night. I literally just bought a 3-DVD Frank Zappa live set. I'm just going to throw that on instead and see if anybody notices.
Billy the Mountain on repeat.
There was a great article that I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Hard Times news parody website.
Oh God, it's great.
They had an article not that long ago. I mean, what is time anymore, I guess, but I can find it really quick. It is the best thing I've ever read in my entire life.
Inserting edit point here.
Inserting edit point here.
To be fair. I just want to say that I am one of those women who had their bachelorette party at a McMenamins. So.
Which one?
Kennedy School.
Okay.
It was, since it was the Saturday before Halloween, they had a Halloween party you know, they had like a band in the gym, you know. They had a band playing, they had a costume contest, they had a bar, you know, it was just a fun party, and it was only like $5 to get in or something.
So for anybody who is listening and not familiar with McMenamins, as Xander was saying earlier, their claim to fame in some circles, or many circles really, especially tourists, is that they take all these old properties that are about to be either demolished or just more or less languishing in waste and revive them into adult fun houses.
Basically.
Kennedy School is a fine example of this. If you've ever thought, you know, I want to get ripping drunk in the detention hall, you can do that at Kennedy School because the detention hall is a bar.
Yep.
If you think, you know, I want to go to the teacher's lounge and smoke a cigar, you can do that because, well, I don't actually know if you can do that anymore.
So the detention room used to be the cigar bar, longer is anymore. We still do have 3 cigar bars in the company. There is the Little White Shed at Cornelius Pass Roadhouse. There's O'Shaughnessy's in Bend.
What about the Baghdad?
The old St. Francis School, and there's also Greater Trumps on Hawthorne.
Okay, yeah.
Which I thought it was so funny that they had to go and issue a explanation to what Greater Trumps meant during the Trump administration because they got so much backlash from it.
I bet. Well, like, that has been there for
a very long time.
And it's a really cool
place. It's a nice little spot. And you have the backstage right there, too, which is kind of fun.
Backstage is one of those places that people frequently don't know about.
Oh, it's a great spot.
Also, I'm going to give a nice big shout out to McMenamins, too, because I thought this was actually pretty brave. Last summer, during the protests and the uprising because of the murder of George Floyd, they put out their unconditional support for BLM at all of their properties. They put up signage. They were like, we're going to like donate stuff to these activist groups of color and whatnot that are trying to make for a more egalitarian society. And again, I know the clientele of some McMenamins. It's a certain group that does not care for that very much. And McMenamins had a pretty decent sized backlash against their unconditional support for BLM and supporting communities of color. And their response was basically to tell them to go fuck themselves. We're going to keep doing it anyways.
Fuck yeah.
And then they redoubled it and said, you know, we realize that, you know, we as a company probably are not being as inclusive as we could be, and made a commitment to go and hiring more people of color and to go and help more marginalized communities like seek employment and whatnot. And I just thought, you know what? Good. This is kind of why I'm okay with, you know, working for this company. I mean, it's a good company in general. And then, even coming out of a pandemic too, they actually upped her meal credit by like 50%. Like 2 months ago.
Oh, holy shit! That's awesome.
Yeah,
that means you can get a burger.
That means I can get a burger for like $1. It's great. Oh,
okay,
amazing.
but still, like I was like, I'm actually going to try more of the menu now because I get this much higher meal credit, which means I can, you know, I mean, it's a smart move on their part, right? Because I can go and I've actually tried this, and this, and these are great.
Does it apply at Black Rabbit?
Sure does.
Fuck yeah!
Oh, really?
Which means I can now get the tuna tartare for free. And the tuna tartare is great.
Amazing.
Black Rabbit, dear listener, is one of their swanky restaurants, also on Edgefield. Personally, I'm not fancy, so I'm a power station eater when I go to Edgefield.
I am now a Black Rabbit eater because I have an expanded meal credit.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
But yeah, the food of Black Rabbit, the reason it's so expensive is that a lot of the ingredients at that particular restaurant are grown on the property. We have gardeners that grow like herbs and vegetables and fruit and whatnot. And it's literally someone's job to go around and pick the blueberries to go and like,
oh, that's amazing.
Put on the fruit, on the fruit parfait or whatever the hell it is.
I want that job.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, who the hell was picking blueberries outside of my bar? She's like,
that's amazing.
Oh, I work for the gardening department. Okay. Carry on.
That's like one of their upper tier restaurants, right? There's like 3 different tiers of restaurants, I believe. There's like the bar food. There's like the sort of like the mid-range. And then there's like the more expensive kind of fancier food.
Yeah. So at Edgefield itself, you have like kind of the pizza kitchen, like where I work is small bars. So we have, you know, like pizzas and sandwiches and that's about it. Then we have, actually pizza's not bad, but then we have the Power Station Pub, which is kind of their more standard, just kind of fun pub fare, like burgers, fries, their
Cajun tots.
Their tots, which are famous for all the things. And then there's the Black Rabbit restaurant, which is just some pretty elegant food. I had their wild boar roast the other day, which was just the most tender, delicious thing. And yes, it was a more expensive thing, but I had a full meal credit. So I paid like $7 for what was supposed to be like a $20-something entree. And I was like, yeah, I love this right now. This is so damn good. So the cooks of the Black Rabbit are top notch. You're paying for it, but it's top notch.
I would like to hear, since we work at McMenamins, we've been to a lot of McMenamins because I make NPC go to a lot of McMenamins because I have one of their passports and it's just good fun. And someday I will finish the damn passport.
Same girl.
I've been working on it since like 2015 or whatever the hell.
Same girl. Yeah. Same.
So ragged. I would like to hear from all of you, and then I will go or whatever. Favorites of McMenamins. Favorite location, favorite brew, favorite spirit, bonus points for favorite meal.
I'll go ahead and start with this one. Favorite location. Yeah, I know. I work there. It's Edgefield. It's a magical place. It's 74 acres. There's basically a forest in some parts of it. The gardens are exquisite. You know, in the late summer, early fall, you can walk up to the golf course area and just eat blackberries while drinking a nice glass of their cuvée wine, which is killer. And I'm not even a wine person. I love their cuvée. And, you know, they have, again, in normal times, they have free music 7 days a week, just open to the public. Just come on in. Watch it. It's fine.
Does Skip still play there?
He sure does.
Nice.
Yeah.
Skip actually played last night, which is unfortunate because I couldn't make it because I don't work on Thursday. Anyways, that's my favorite location. My favorite beer they ever made was called Lord Gord of the Wood. And it was a combination of their Black Widow Porter, which is a delicious seasonal porter that they put out, combined with one of their barley wines, aged in their Hogshead whiskey barrels for like 6 months, and it came out at like 13 or 14%. And it tasted like molasses cookies. And like two of those, and you were nice and roasty toasty for the rest of the evening. It was delicious. Love that. Drank that a lot. My favorite spirit, probably the Hogshead whiskey here, although their Joe Penny's gin is also exquisite. So is their Phil Hazelnut liqueur. And what was the other favorite thing you asked? Meal?
Meal? Yeah.
A wild boar the other day was, oh my God, just tender. So just, oh my God, it was something else. I haven't had a meal like that in a while. So that was a great Black Rabbit restaurant. It's got wild boar sometimes. You should check it out.
I'd say my favorite location, I love Edgefield, but I'm going to go with Rock Creek. Solely because they have motorcycle parking and it's a really fun motorcycle ride to get to if you don't take the highway. The back roads,
fair point.
Like if you go out like Skyline, Thompson, through all that area and take all the rides through the West Hills,
which are fun.
It's really fantastic. And they have motorcycle parking and the inside is actually pretty cool. I like the feel of that place.
Is that Germantown Road or is that? No, that's Cornelius Pass Roadhouse is Germantown. Which roads to get up
Cornelius
there?
Cornelius Pass is on the south side of 26. Rock Creek is on the north side of 26.
Okay. Yeah. Rock Creek Tavern.
Yep.
Okay.
My favorite drink. I've had a lot of good stuff. I'm torn. I really like that Black Rabbit Red, the wine. Mm. It's delicious.
You tried the cuvée.
I haven't. I'll give it a shot.
It's the staff favorite. I'll bring over a bottle next time.
Which one? You brought us a bottle at one point that was... I can't remember. Anyway, whatever.
I also really like the Purple Haze, which is the Marionberry Ruby. So good. It's really good. It's a seasonal, so you can't always get it. And it's not as good in the can. It's really not. It's so much better when it's poor. I just got to say.
Is it on draft?
Yeah, draft is better. And then my favorite meal is the Jamaican bowl. Mm.
That's a good one.
You can't get it everywhere, but it's delicious. Whenever I see it on a menu, I'm like, that's what I'm getting. I have a second favorite menu. I have a second favorite meal, though. It sticks in my mind. It's from... The only place I've ever seen it was at Hillsdale, and it was a turkey French dip.
Interesting.
It's really good. Yeah.
Very nice. So for favorite location, Gosh, it's kind of a toss up. I like the hotels the best.
Well, obviously.
Just because they're fun and there's a lot to do there. It's fun to spend the night there.
You can stagger upstairs. Don't have to worry about driving.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Walk around in a bathrobe.
You walk around a big, be part of the bathrobe cult, yeah. You know. I have not yet stayed at Anderson School, but I really want to. I have toured it. I have gotten my passport stamps from there. The Anderson School is really, really fucking cool. And that is up in Bothell, Washington.
Yeah, just north of Seattle.
Way up, way, way, way. It's like the most northern McMenamins, I think, perhaps.
It is.
But it's, an old school that's been converted. And they have, the school happened to have like an Olympic size swimming pool in it.
Yep.
Which of course is now their soaking pool.
The largest one we have.
And above it, overlooking the pool, is a fucking tiki bar.
Oh, I thought you were about to say a big old picture of Jerry Garcia.
I mean, probably.
It's a big old, it's a little tiki, there's like little skinny long tiki bar that overlooks the pool. And this has this very like lagoon kind of feeling, you know, whatever. I haven't stayed there yet. I haven't partaken.
Let's make it happen.
We got to make it happen.
We got to make it happen.
I haven't partaken of their soaking pool, but I really want to. The Elks Lodge Temple.
So good.
Is a close second, but they don't have a soaking pool. That's the only minus, but that is a cool place. Favorite beer, probably Purple Haze. Favorite spirit, probably Seven Gables.
The Gables.
Gin.
I will fight you on that, but that's okay. I know. I'll allow it.
And favorite meal, gosh, I mean, it's hard to go wrong with the Dungeon Burger.
This is the last call for alcohol this evening. Drink up, drink up, drink up, and order again. This is the last call for alcohol, get going. Drink up, drink up, drink up, then order again.
I'm going to end it here. I think it's a fun note. One of the other cool things about McMenamin's hotels in general, I have had a fair amount of ghostly experiences at their hotels. Ed Shield is actually viewed to be one of the more haunted hotels in the United States, which is exciting if you're not afraid of ghosts. And I've also had I've had three ghostly experiences working at Edgefield and one at Kennedy School, and I love it.
Wild.
Yeah. Maybe for our October episode, we'll talk about ghost stories that we know about. What do you think?
Portland. We could actually spend a whole episode just talking about Edgefield, its history, its current incarnation, all the different locations. I think that's another episode coming
soon.
It's
going to have to be, because I could do another 20 minutes on this, so we're not going to do that right now.
Well, my thoughts on the drink, I've fucking enjoyed this. That whiskey initially had a bit of a sizzle for me, but I think the malt finally sort of leveled that out. But it hit my tongue, and instead of swallowing, I let it sit there for like 5 or 10 seconds, and then my tongue started to sizzle. I was like, oh, that's new. It doesn't do that. It's not doing that anymore. So I'm pretty sure that malt has settled it. And it's a great combination with the beer.
It's a delicious, delicious whiskey. It's a little hot for me. It burns a little too much for me, but it's definitely drinkable. I may have put an ice cube in it if I had, next time I have it, I might have a cube in it.
I think with the cube, you know, it is 92 proof. But yeah, with the cube would probably go and level out a little bit. It's funny, I don't really like Hammerhead. However, taking a sip of the Hogshead and then a sip of the Hammerhead like right afterwards made me enjoy and appreciate the Hammerhead that much more, which I guess was the point.
Hammerhead's not my favorite, but it is totally drinkable. And having it as a chaser to the Hogshead whiskey is incredible. Yeah.
Again, matching malt, that's what you get.
So McMenamin's, if you're looking to sponsor a podcast.
Yeah, let us know.
Let us know. We love you guys.
I'm still probably not going to think your burgers are well priced, but I appreciate your tots.
That's like a whole other thing, I think, because you say they're overpriced and I'm like, that's just a Portland burger price.
No,
like,
you can get many, many, many better, cheaper burgers here in this town.
Portland. Interesting.
We're about to talk in a minute about Portland's food notoriety, and I'm really surprised that burgers was not on that list. So anyway, let's go ahead and close this out. Been listening to Bikers Dice and Bars, Portland, Oregon. You should check us out online on our Patreon, which we're about to start updating again. I promise, I swear. And all the other places. Discord, join us on Discord, please. Oh, yeah. Chat, chat, chat.
We are very chatty over on Discord. Come join us.
Yeah, I check it at least a couple times a day, and you'll be annoyed by me. I mean, you will appreciate my lovely presence. What did I say?
I check it a couple times a month, I think.
I live on it. Anyway, I'm NPC.
Oh, there's an empty chair.
Yep.
I'm the good Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
And I am Poppy Beaujolais.
And we want to remind you to keep it rubber side down, shiny side up.
Always tip your bartender.
Always roll them crits, dog.
And please always drink and ride responsibly.
And that's why you stay at McMinniman's hotels, so you can just drink and walk upstairs to your room.
Exactly.
In a brilliant bathrobe.
In a bathrobe. You can join a cult.
You can literally walk around it's in a amazing. Bathrobe with a drink in your hand at a McMinniman's hotel. And yeah. Just
it's one giant amazing. Liquor license there. You can just wander around with a drink in a bathrobe. And just stare at paintings that make you wish you were on mushrooms. It's fantastic.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes.